Well, welcome back, you tipsy theologians. You're looking wonderful today. You're looking nice. You smell nice, too. I don't know how I get that over the radio waves, but here we are. It smells good, so keep it up. Well, today I've got another special treat for you. I know, we're all about treats. We're all about being nice. I like to treat you guys well, so keep that up. We've got a guest here today, Wayne McCarty, one of the hosts of Florida Man on Florida Man podcast. If you don't know about it, you should know about it.
Well, thank you, dude. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. Yeah, and you should know about it, especially if you're from Florida. It's a crime not to.
I think so.
I feel like it's been written into law by the governor, and so you're all going to prison.
You know, that's how it feels. So I moved down to Florida January of 21.
Okay.
And my cousins are like, oh, well, if you want to know about Lakeland... So Lakeland's sweet. Here's the LAL today.
Yeah.
You got to read this.
They're great, dude.
So I read it religiously every morning.
Yeah, they're great.
And I think they did a shout out for you guys on one of the episodes, or
okay.
one of their morning stuff.
And I was
oh, a local podcast. This is sweet.
Yeah.
And I started listening and I was like, this is great.
No, thank you, man. Yeah. They're wonderful people. And Riley is, she's doing amazing things out there. And honestly, I would say LAL rivals like any like larger municipality media company.
Yeah.
I mean, they're incredible at what they do.
I agree. It made it like, every time I read it, I was more excited to live in Lakeland.
Yes.
So it's like you get to see everything that's going on, and then listening to your guys' podcast, I feel like I'm becoming a Florida man.
Bro, it is part of the initiation process. So
I think it's true.
Yeah, once you migrate here, they should usher you into a room and make you listen to 10 episodes of our show. And then you will walk out doing the things that make you a Florida man or a woman.
It's great.
End
I
up
love
on
it.
The news. We get more material. It's just full cycle, man. Like, it's just how it works.
You know, it's funny. I think about the real Florida men around here, too, and I realize that it's like it's a real thing.
It's for a lot of folks, it's a meme, which is why we started the show. But I mean, it's real. The culture is real. And everything about Florida when you're here is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And so it is fun sometimes just to kind of poke fun at the darker side.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think of one of my friends. There's a guy who runs around one of the lakes here.
Okay.
He runs around shirtless every day holding an American flag.
Incredible.
And
you have to, man.
It's like, this guy is what makes Florida great.
I know. It's that energy, bro. Everybody's got to carry the cross in the own way.
It's true.
And this guy's carrying the flag, man. So good. I think I know who you're talking about. I've seen him around.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Yeah,
I know his daughter used to work with her.
Very cool. Very cool.
So it's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like for myself, sometimes it's fun. I feel like kind of an anomaly in some ways.
Okay.
Even though there's a lot of people from Ohio here.
Yeah.
So there's a show in Northern New York. One of the segments they do is called OTF.
Okay.
And so they read off a headline and the people have to call in and they have to guess whatever the headline was, whatever the story was, if it happened in Ohio, Texas, or Florida.
So good.
And I was like, I went from Ohio to Florida. This is amazing.
You're two out of three, man. So
I know. There's one left.
You're going to have to summer in Texas, and then and then you're going to be the full trifecta.
Absolutely. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Well, as you guys are wondering, you're pretty well acquainted with media and entertainment. You've been doing it for a little while.
A long time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We started in the music industry and as teenagers and spent a good chunk of our life there. And then in our late 20s, transitioned to just songwriting for other folks so that we could be home with our kids and our spouses. And then we started the podcast 5 years ago because we were like, hey, we want to see each other more frequently.
Mm.
And so we called, all of our old label mates and friends and just said, hey, would you support this? Like, would you get behind this? And
that's amazing.
Yeah, man. And then Florida kind of did its thing. And then this November will be 5 years. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Congrats
on that. It's been a ride. Thank you, man. Yeah, appreciate it.
I feel like that's the ultimate, boys night.
Oh,
it's
it
like
is.
The fellows are just looking for a way to hang out.
Well, and it's funny you say that because that's how it started. And then now our team, continues to grow. I think there's 12 to 15 people now who make Florida Man on Florida Man exist.
Hmm.
And the vast majority of them are female.
And, that's amazing.
Yeah, and it's just because they're better at everything. And so, like, we surrounded ourselves with folks who were just geniuses, and we just show up and say silly stuff on the microphone, and they're like, "Hey, we'll work with that. We'll make it work." So, yeah. but it's been a lot of fun.
I used to have my sister-in-law used to edit the podcast.
Oh, cool!
When I first started doing it. And best editor I've had so far, because now it's just me.
Oh, yeah.
Things that I keep in, she'd be like, "You should cut that."
Oh, yeah. But at least you have her to kind of give you the notes, you know?
It's true, yeah. Which is nice.
No, it's awesome. Yeah, our PR and our editor, they really keep us in line. And that's my favorite part is looking across the room at our PR. Her name is Kelsey, and she's incredible. But looking across the room at her and her shaking her head and going, "You can't say that. You can't say that." And so she keeps us out of, and it's never anything crazy.
Right.
But our show is family friendly. And so we walk a line of, you know, the scale we use is, could this get away on Shrek? Like, is it Shrek humor where it's like the adults get it, but the kids don't get it.
Yeah.
And so we have to walk a fine line, but we're getting better at it.
That's cool. Step by step.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, since, that's where your history's at too. I thought it'd be cool for us to talk about kind of music and entertainment and how it relates to faith and Christianity and life. And
I love that, dude.
That's what we're all
so
about.
Good. That's my sweet spot.
I love that. That's cool. Great. Yeah. But yeah, before we do that, shall we imbibe?
Please, man. There's a massive, this is an audio podcast. So just so you know, there's a massive barrel of Tullamore Dew here on the desk.
The smallest bottle I could find.
He had to have help putting it up on the table. Like, it's massive.
But we struggle. There's a little bit of water in there.
That's perfect, man.
This ice just melts too quick.
I'm not a Puritan.
That's good.
It's funny. We're talking about before the episode started, like Irish heritage, and you have it in your blood as well. So congratulations. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Thank you. I say just enough to be offensive.
Yes, but the Tullamore Dew, man, it keeps us going. It's like
good?
The.
You want some more?
That's perfect, man.
We'll
that's
fill
perfect.
You up too. Don't worry.
Yeah, no, we're filming this at 1:30 in the afternoon, so this should do me okay.
You can have a refill though. I support it.
But no, man, Tullamore Dew keeps us going. This is, in fact, I need to reach out to them and see if they'll sponsor our show and fix our grocery budget, man.
That's the one thing I would love if I have an alcohol sponsor.
Yeah,
just to support my own habits. This would be great.
Contractually, we have one that we're exclusive to right now. But it won't start till next week, so I can say all I want about Tullamore Dew.
That's right.
Until next Wednesday, and then I can't talk about
then
it anymore.
Then we got to strike it from the record.
But cheers, though, man. Thanks for having me, bro.
You.
All right.
We'll see how this guy tastes. I haven't had Tullamore Dew in a long time.
It's delicious, bro.
So I've heard it's definitely a step above Jameson.
You're going to be happy with how you feel. I'm not, like, pro-arresting people all the time.
That's nice.
But if someone said Jameson was better than Tullamore, I'd have him arrested.
I agree with that.
On trial, but without a jury of their peers. Just me.
Just more people that like Tullamore Dew.
Just me saying, get him out of here.
You're wrong. And
I don't want to see him anymore.
No, that's quite nice.
It's very good. It's very smooth.
It's very like toasted flavor,
mm-hmm.
which I really like. I like mm-hmm. to pretend I know I have a palate. I like to pretend that.
I think you do, man. I don't know. I know what I like, which is a very selfish way of looking at things. But that applies to food. It applies to music. Like, I know what's good for me.
Right.
And so I can only testify as to what I've experienced myself. So when folks ask my opinion, I'm like, hey, this is what I enjoy.
Right.
I don't know what goes on in your mouth or head. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, whatever's good for you, man. And I love sharing other folks' favorite things.
That's awesome.
And so Tullamore Dew is one of my favorites. I'm glad we're doing it together.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you recommending it.
Of course, yeah.
Because it just gives me more reason to buy more alcohol.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that.
Dude, you got to get a sponsor. We got to get that lined up.
You got to get that going.
Yeah, for sure.
If you
sure.
know anyone, let me know.
Yeah, 100%.
TipsyTheologyPodcast@gmail.com.
Yes,
let's
please.
Go. Yeah. So when we first started the podcast, we would do 4 drinks. So we do 3 shots to start the episode.
Wow.
And then either beer or a cocktail.
Okay.
And I was like, that's a lot. Had to scale it back.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
But we
yeah.
wanted to try to do something new every time.
Right.
And so I had my cupboard. I think I had hundreds of bottles at one point in my cupboard.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, you know, this is, I got to scale this back.
You are Irish, man.
Yeah, right.
Some friends of ours run a show called Dreppenstone, and they're a really successful podcast that just covers like whiskey and bourbon and that kind of stuff. They've delved into beer, and they're actually out, I believe, in Denver right now at this big festival and filming it. But they get the rarest of the rare on their show.
That's cool.
And so they're good friends to have because they know what it is. But they covered something called Jepson Malort.
And it's never heard of that.
It's from Chicago.
Okay.
And it's pretty unique to the Chicago area. But they filter it with wormwood.
Oh.
Which, to tie it into our theology podcast here, you know, anything mentioned in the Book of Revelation, you know,
there's some wormwood going.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, I don't want to drink that. Like, what? Like, what is happening?
That's why I feel conflicted with absinthe sometimes.
Right.
And any faithful listener knows that every time I have absinthe on the episode, I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
Because it makes me emotional.
Of course. I'm that way with wine, man. It goes straight to parts of me that aren't healthy. And so I don't do wine. I know how whiskey works with me.
Yeah.
But dude, it's to each their own, man. I mean,
it's good. Wine just makes me loud.
Yeah.
I don't realize that I'm like three times louder than I normally am when I have wine.
I get pretty emo, man.
That's awesome.
I get, when I have a glass and a half of wine, I turn into like Chris Carrabba and start singing Dashboard Confessional and like, and you know, my wife's like, hey, like we're good. I'm like, are we good?
It's 9 in the afternoon.
I just love you so much. God's been so good to our family.
Dipping in the wine again, I see.
Exactly. Very King David ripping my clothes in the street, but yeah, man.
That's incredible. Well, you know, as I like to do, I like to talk a little bit about the whiskeys we have here. So some of this you may know, just being with your Irish history.
Sure.
So Tullamore Dew, I actually didn't know. Dew was an abbreviation. I didn't notice the periods until recently.
No, you're teaching me everything. I just drank that. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. I like to know because that way I can continue to front like I do it just for the art.
Sure. Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, so it's a brand of Irish whiskey.
Okay.
With a rich history dating back to 1829. It was originally distilled in the town of Tullamore.
There you go. Cool,
County Offaly, Ireland, by Daniel E. Williams, whose initials DEW are part of the brand's name.
That's incredible, man. So,
like, that's a cool little idea. It's a great name.
It's a baller move too.
Yeah. Just kind of my name on
stamp there. Your name on it and move on. You know, this is mine. I did this.
You see that? That's me.
Yeah, right.
That's great. And actually kind of fun. I didn't know this. So it has a quirky tradition related to it on leap years.
Okay.
So an Irish tradition. It is said that women can propose marriage to men on February 29th leap years.
That's right.
So Tullamore Dew has embraced this tradition as any true capitalist would.
Yeah.
And they've said their marketing campaign encouraging women to propose to their partners with a bottle of Tullamore Dew.
So cool.
I was like, that's great.
It would work on me. That is a real thing for the ladies to propose on leap year. And so... that there's a history of that in our family as well. It's very brief, but yeah, that's real. So the Tullamore Dew, I didn't know that they would propose with that, but what a great marketing campaign.
I'd be like, this is a keeper.
Good on them. Yeah, right. That's huge, bro.
You know, if a woman wants to propose to me, it doesn't matter what day of the year it's on, if they propose with a bottle.
Yeah, we're a bit progressive here in the States. Yeah. You know what I mean?
If it's a nice bottle of whiskey, you're a keeper.
Any bottle, any day. Yeah. You just let my boy know.
I'm in.
He's in. He's ready.
I'm ready to go. So I thought it would be kind of fun before we really dive into the topic.
Sure.
You know, for your show, I wanted to steal an element of it because you guys read headlines.
We do, yeah.
And
yeah.
So I wanted to read some Florida Man headlines
for you. Please.
If you don't mind me stealing this portion.
Not at all.
It's a little tasty treat for those that haven't listened to you yet.
Yeah, please.
They know what to look forward to. So I hope you haven't heard these ones before.
We'll see, man. It's, when you start doing it for a living, it's, you know, you get a bit...
It's 5 years of episodes. That's a lot of headlines.
It's a lot of headlines, but I'll pretend like I haven't heard it.
Okay, just for my sake.
I will.
Lie to me.
Yeah.
So the first one, Florida man tries to kill his brother after trading his entire inheritance for some baked beans.
Okay, so I haven't heard that.
That's a new one for you.
That's a new one.
That's good.
I appreciate this, actually.
I feel like this is a Florida
thing. This is really good.
So in it, it says initially, the brother claimed that he was dying of hunger.
Okay. Was he 4 years old?
And yeah.
He didn't get a snack?
Yeah, he's like a little hungry.
I'm dying.
He's I'm not using my inheritance at the time. Yeah, so
I'm hungry.
Getting some goldfish crackers.
Yeah, what in the world?
So then later, he had a little change of heart
when
it was inheritance time. And so he decided he was going to try to kill his brother.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's biblical, actually.
Yeah, it's to each his own, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, take the inheritance. What was the verdict here, though? I mean, did he actually commit the murder or no?
He actually didn't. So his brother actually fled.
Good.
And
as he should.
Able to get away. Yeah. So
I just wanted to know if he survived before I started making jokes about it. Yeah, I just wanted to make
everyone
sure.
Everyone was safe in this
okay,
thing,
good.
But.
Yeah, so the baked beans, though, what was the relevance there? He was a big bean lover?
I don't know. They didn't say that. I think he was just really hungry, and his brother liked to make beans.
Bro, it's funny you say that, and I don't know how much you reached out to my co-host about this, but he makes fun of me all the time. I love beans.
Really?
I'm serious, and like a cowboy. Like I'll eat them out of a can. I really enjoy beans a lot. And then like the other day, I was eating broccoli and hummus, and he goes, dude,
that's
like,
good stuff.
He's like, how many forms of beans, like... Can you figure out how to eat? And I'm like, man, I just love it, bro. They're good for me, you know?
That's how I feel about the potato. It's like,
come on.
It's every form food. I can get it into me,
that's
good.
It's famine food, man. Like, like it's in our blood. Like, I crave it, but I don't have it.
Same with cabbage. That's like my Slovenian side.
Oh, wow.
Where they're just like, let's throw some cabbage in there.
Yeah. It's great. Dude, and that's very Irish of you as well. I mean, yeah.
True.
You know, that you get it from both sides probably, but cabbage and beans.
Didn't stand a chance.
And potatoes, man. That's just, again.
That's soul food, right?
Poverty food is all it is, dude.
It's true.
It's all it is, bro. We're just trying to survive.
That's why we look to like France for, you know, cuisine.
Yeah. Like
so all we got is potatoes.
They're like, have you guys ever heard of salt? Like,
check this out.
Have you tried that?
That's what I do laugh about England in particular.
Sure.
Where they're like, let's just take over all these different countries with all these different spices.
Yep. And then not use it.
And not use any of them.
I laugh at England for a lot of things.
Don't get high in your own supply.
No, right, But that's one of them, man. It's like, bro, just throw some salt on it.
Yeah, right.
Like, you don't have to use river water anymore. Like,
we've progressed.
The Germans, you won. The Germans are gone, bro. Like,
I think you have the power to
do
it.
Use some salt, man.
You know, I didn't know this, but apparently... Their national dish is chicken tikka masala.
What? Well, I mean, okay, that makes sense.
They're branching out. You know?
Well, I think it makes sense considering England is much more of a melting pot than it used to be.
That is true.
You know, and so that is good for them culturally. I don't know. I would love to know how long that's been the national dish, but it does make sense, actually.
Yeah. That's good. That's good that you know that. I read that. I was like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, most of my friends who are from England, their family, you know, is from India or somewhere in Asia. And so, it does make sense. But it's a bit too spicy for me. It's a bit too spicy for me. But people who love it, man.
That's fun. Yeah, that's great. It's good. It's a good time.
Yeah.
So I have one more for you. So, Florida couple.
Okay.
It's not just one person, though. There's two people involved in this. They stole some fruit from a local orchard.
Okay.
Naked.
Okay. Well, listen, man. When date night happens, you don't know which way it's going to go. Date night's
trying to spice up your relationship.
It's an important part of every relationship. You need 90 intentional minutes a week to really make your relationship thrive. And if that ends up at a fruit stand naked, I mean, you know,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do, man. But here's the thing: we actually asked our lawyer Nathan.
Mm.
And this is true. We asked him a couple weeks ago, is being naked a crime if you're hot? Because it feels like a lot of the articles that we get sent, the folks who are like naked and streaking, they're not models, right?
Right.
But it's like, I'm just saying, like, it feels a bit like if a hot person did it, it probably wouldn't make the news. It would just be, oh my God, like, there's Johnny.
Right.
There's Johnny again. Like,
people wouldn't have time to report it. So they're just like, let me just not look away.
This guy's, you got Patrick Swayze, you know, you know, rest in peace. But I'm saying, like, if he's running down the road naked, I'm not calling the cops.
No.
You know, but then again, if Jack Black's running down the road naked, I'm probably calling the cops. No offense to him. He's a funny guy, but he's not, you know, he's not going to end up on my calendar.
I wonder if someone that famous, you're like, let me talk to him first, get an autograph.
Oh, I would 100% invite him on the show.
That's awesome.
I am that guy.
You fit in here.
Yeah. I'm like, please, bro. Please, we need you.
Please do this.
Yes.
So yeah, those are the ones. I'm glad you haven't heard those before.
No, both are new to me.
That's great. And I'll be honest. It's funny you said it was biblical, because I bamboozled you a little bit.
Oh no. These are
Bible stories that I just...
They're Bible stories. Come on, man. There you go. That makes a lot of sense now. Okay.
I was like, so, I got to throw a twist in here.
So. I get it. The Esau was very... It was there on the tip of my tongue.
You were so close.
So close.
Like, and I think I'm about to be had.
And then I get the origin story here. No, okay, wow. There you go, man. If my senior pastor's listening, it's just in my blood. You see what happened there?
See, he couldn't get away from it.
I can't get away from it.
Your gut said, this is the Bible.
There's something here.
There's something in here.
Makes me want to do devotions.
I feel like I got to pray right now.
Yeah, that's me most of the day, bro.
That's awesome. But yeah, so I guess jumping in this a little bit, what would you say your history with music? Like, what does that look like for you growing up? Like, I know for me, so I started, my dad was in a band for the longest time growing up.
Cool.
And music was just kind of part of our life. So for me, it was very, just kind of made sense. There was no thought. Was that similar for you, or did you have a...
It wasn't. My mom sang in church, and that was about as close as we got. But she was a teenager when I was born. So, there wasn't like a lot of necessarily like tutelage. It was just her singing in church. It was a very small Southern Baptist church. So that was my experience. And then my dad, he's just an incredible human being. But he was the first McCarty to like not be a farmer, essentially.
Oh, wow.
And he worked at a factory from the time he was 17 until he retired a few years ago. So when I was 11, I asked for a guitar, and he was like, you're going to starve to death. And I was like, probably. I think back on that, and now that I'm a father, and, I hope I'm as brave as my dad was, buying me that guitar, because, it goes against everything he knew to be provisional for his family.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he took a risk on me, and it paid out, man. I was very grateful for that, because I've never really known life without music being a part of it. And when I was 13, started my first band and wanted to go gig out and play shows, my dad would drive the van.
That's amazing.
And we're playing these bars where it's like everybody's smoking and these children walk in and they're just like, what are you doing? And we're just like, oh, we're the opening band, but that was
don't you have like social studies homework to do or...
Yeah, no, I'm failing every class. I'm just here to make rock and roll, So
that's amazing.
But yeah, so my history with music and faith kind of go hand in hand, and we experienced a lot of that. And maybe we'll get there. I'm not sure what's on your show notes, but one thing that we dealt with a lot was the whole, like, well, are you guys a Christian band, or are you Christians in a band?
Yeah.
That was a huge discussion point for the bulk of our career, because...
Were you guys playing Christian music?
We weren't.
Okay.
We weren't. And so, but we were all, I would say ministry-minded guys. I mean, half of our team were also on staff at a church somewhere while we were touring at some point in time. And so we would get that question a lot. And so for me, art and music and that kind of tethered line to faith has always been a part of it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it just makes sense. When you look at art, it's like art... Often, especially, I think a lot of good art comes from a place inside of you.
Of course.
And if faith is that intertwined, it's like it's going to show up whether you're singing the name Jesus or not. It's going to be there.
100%. And all art is, I believe, is an attempt for us to, because we're so small.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to leave a slightly larger thumbprint, on our existence. And so, historically, the church were the leaders in most seasons when it came to art, and somewhere along the way, we can look at it through the lens of history, but we lost sight of that, and so I think art, when we create things, I think that's when we are the most like God. He made us, and so now we get to create as well, which is awesome.
Yeah. And it's a very unique, just like expression. Because I don't know if I've said this to you, but I've definitely talked about it. I know for me, there's a lot where with music, because I was always just kind of drawn to it when I started to learn it. It's like there's things that I don't know how to speak, but I know how to how to play.
Yep. No, yeah, and it'll give you a platform and an ability to say things that you don't have words for just yet. Yeah, especially in songwriting, you know, all of it is, I mean, all art in some way is storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, you look at people like Johnny Cash and folks who,
yeah,
you know, their songs are just very story driven.
Yeah.
Most of them aren't even voyeuristic or journalistic. They're just stories.
Right.
You know, they're just stories. True. And so
he doesn't even bother singing half the time.
No, no. But the same goes for painting. The same goes for, it's all just story. You know, everything is its own creation tale. And so I think we lose that through the lens of modernity sometimes. It's like we overcomplicate things. It's like, bro, we're just, you know, a bunch of clay trying to make noise and tell stories and be like the creator and to some extent, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like the little kids
100%.
Just looking up and being like, I want to be like Dad.
As we should be.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. But yeah, I agree, man. Art is it's a beautiful thing. I think everybody's got it in them too.
Mm.
You know, I think it does get lost sometimes with society will kind of subjugate artists and, you know, and kind of put them aside and go, oh, well, there's the artist. Like, well, we're all creating something.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah, we're all capable of it.
It might not be music itself, but
right. There's
art in something.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. What, because I know you said you wanted a guitar when you were younger. What brought you to a guitar?
It's funny. I wish it had a more meaningful background, but I wanted to play drums, and my dad just said no. He was like, it's too loud.
He's thinking about the noise.
Yeah, he said it's too loud, and he goes, I'll buy you a guitar, and I go, cool.
That's sweet.
And that was, you know, it wasn't a storied, you know, existence. It was just, you know, and truthfully, we couldn't afford drums because we couldn't afford a guitar either.
Mm.
My dad made a lot of sacrifices for that first guitar, and
that's cool.
And you know, but that was the story behind the music was my dad said no to one thing and yes to the other, and so
a compromise.
I became a guitar player.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, because I started out on piano.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
Because my dad plays piano.
Okay.
And actually, it was cool. I got to take lessons from his teacher.
That's so cool.
Got to learn from
growing
up.
That's so cool.
So it was pretty cool to see that. And then, I realized that carrying a piano around was a lot of work.
Unless you want to get into the guitar, man.
You're right. Which I actually owned one for a little while. No,
they're so cool, honestly. I love it.
It's pretty sick. Yeah. I wish I still had it, because now it's like, this is the time. Like, it's coming back.
There's not enough guitar players.
I agree. I mean, like what? Like Frank Yankovic? Dude, Al Yankovic.
Al. My thing, man, is if I walked into a church service and they had a guitar player, I mean, I don't care how theologically sound they are. I'm like, hey, man.
I'm coming for worship.
Yeah, they've got a guitar player, bro.
What's that guy's name? I need to...
Yeah, if there's a church listening that has one, hit us up, man, because we're happy at our home, but we'll come visit.
Yeah, I'll check you out on the weekends.
Yeah, 100%, dude.
Oh, that's amazing. So I guess you did say a little bit about it, but with music itself, like how have you noticed that impact your faith? Because I know you said for your life, it's just so intertwined now.
It is, yeah.
It's just like, I can't imagine it without it.
Yeah. When it comes to my faith, man, like it's typically my chosen vehicle for worship, I would say. Music kind of gets me into a mindset where I can kind of sit and listen. And because I've got a pretty big head, I got a lot going on up there.
Mm.
And so it helps me kind of just focus in and dial in where I need to be. And but when it comes to faith specifically, you know, being able to resource a local church with songwriting has been a major role in my adult life. But then when it comes to just, you know, outside of that world particular, music changes my mood, man.
Mm.
So if I get up, I mean, there's a really good chance I'm, you know, there's a 50-50 chance I'm going to put on, you know, the 1975 or Sir Mix-a-Lot. You know what I mean? Like, my wife never knows what's going to come out of the bathroom, bro. Like,
that's incredible.
When I get up to get ready for work and she hears, you know, she might hear Bark Like You Want It.
Yeah.
Or she's going to hear, like, you know, Bethel Worship. Like, it really just depends on how I slept, honestly, dude.
That's amazing.
And so, but for me, it's, you know, I would say there isn't longer than a 3 or 4 hour period of every day where I go without music. I have it on pretty frequently because it helps regulate everything about me.
Yeah, that's like my self-medication.
Yep.
Myself, yeah. And it's funny because I'll sometimes listen to music because I want to change my mood.
Like, of course.
I don't feel good right now. I want to feel better.
Of course, yeah. And isn't that magical, man? I mean, music has a weird way of transcending time and space and emotions. I mean, like, for example, if you dream you have $1 million and you wake up, you don't have $1 million. Mm. But if you dream of a melody, you can wake up and you can write that melody.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to me. True. I mean, you can go down a rabbit hole with that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that just comes from the fact that everything is spiritual. And regardless of anybody's faith background or story, like there's a reason why we as humans are drawn to music.
Mm,
you know, there's something magical about it, and it's something spiritual about it, and that applies to all things. Like, I'm not a Puritan. Like, I don't, you know, I think you should enjoy all music.
Yeah,
you know, and whatever makes your soul happy, man, that's for you. You know, that's for you to listen and indulge. So
there's something in it that speaks to you in a way that other genres might not.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, dude, is like, you know, we had an artist on our show called Van Plating, and she's wonderful, man. And she's a storyteller. She's a folk country artist and, you know, big in the Nashville scene. And she just tells stories, you know, and like some of them are heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Some of them are statistically dark stories.
Hmm.
But if you are a person who has gone through something similar and then you hear that and you go like, man, like, I'm not by myself.
Yeah.
This person's gone through it as well. That's massive, bro.
Yeah.
It's massive. And so it's not that other art forms can't, you know, showcase that. But with music, it's a little easier to, you know. And so, yeah, it's very special, man.
I was able to catch that episode with Van Planning. That was... Mm. It was one of those too, like you said. It's very heavy in certain parts
because
it's like, yeah, she's sharing something that's really, it's a lot for
intimate,
a human being.
It's intimate, yeah.
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 And then being able to take that and listen to how she translated that into music is like,
right.
It's beautiful. And in some ways, it's more palatable sometimes.
You have to release it.
Yeah.
And I think that is part of it. Like, you know, even podcasting, I mean, again, it's all storytelling.
Right.
And so I say this frequently to creatives. Like, if you don't tell the story, your brain will do it for you.
Mm.
So if you are a writer and you're not writing, your brain will do it for you, and then you're going to end up anxious, right? Because you're meant to tell stories.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the times we find ourselves in seasons where we don't feel like creating art and we don't want to do it. And that statistically is probably when you should do it the most.
That's interesting.
And I don't think it's an over spiritualized thing. I think it's just, hey man, like your body is trying to do it.
Yeah.
You should do it.
Yeah. Let your body do it.
You have to release it, man.
That's cool.
You know, and so with Van Plating, she's got a gift there, man. She's a wonderful writer. And so, like you said, going back to what you said though, you know, maybe there's some days where emotionally I can't put a Van Plating record on.
Right.
Right. I got to put on something that's a little more sugar pop.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other days where I'm like, no, like I want to feel something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And that's why it's for everyone.
Yeah. Sufjan Stevens is,
of course,
a favorite artist of mine, but he's incredible. One. If I listen to him too much, I get sad.
It'll alter it, man.
It's
true. The Windows of Paradise. It makes me cry every time. That
Absolutely.
Song makes me cry every time.
Yeah.
And dude, I had such a special moment with my youngest daughter. I introduced her to Dashboard Confessional. We were driving somewhere and I put on Dashboard and it wasn't even like a heavy song. It was, I think it was like Hands Down, which is a pretty funny song.
Yeah.
About making out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's kind of poppy. And I turn around, she was just bawling. And I was like, yeah, respect, right?
Yeah.
Feels good, doesn't it? You know? Yeah. And so my 7-year-old's like, turn it off. What what's it doing to me? But I mean, that's, again, that's the power of it, bro. Like,
yes.
It's like witchcraft. You know, it's just cool, man.
Feels like it.
Yeah,
it's true.
It'll put a spell on you, man. A lot of jazz musicians believe in that kind of stuff back in the day, man. It makes you react in a way that on the surface, there isn't an explanation for it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I know. So for myself, I should probably go to therapy for this. But
we should go to therapy for everything, man.
There's a lot.
It's so good for everyone.
It's true. I say it's true, but I've never been to a therapist. I probably should.
Yeah, I'll hook you up.
Thank you. Yeah, I will. Yeah. I need that. Because I'm not a big crier.
Sure.
But when there are certain songs that hit me in a way that nothing else could.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Keaggy is one of those. Some of his songs. Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I'm not.
Great guitarist. He's actually a nine finger. He's got nine fingers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just incredible guitarist.
That's cool.
Great, great music. Christian guy, too. So that's cool.
That's awesome.
But the one song in particular, Let Everything Else Go, I think it's called.
Okay.
Every time I listen to that one, I'm like, I hope no one's around because I'm about to weep.
Bro, what? Because it'll take you back. Smells very similar, right?
Yeah.
Like you'll smell something and all of a sudden your mind is taken back to the time where you experienced that. And I think I could be wrong on this, but I think smell is the strongest when it comes to triggers. But I think music, man, it has the ability, you can go back to the first time you heard the song,
right?
The person you were with, where you were at. And there are songs from my wife and I's wedding that, you know, still make me weep because it takes me back to that experience, the happiest day of my life. Second happiest day of my life, funny story, this is, and I'm going to age ourselves a little bit here, but, but when my first daughter was born, the Lumineers were a big deal, you know, like slap rock, you know, like folk stomp. We chose that as the record to put on in the delivery room for my daughter.
That's amazing.
And bro, I mean, everybody was healthy, but the experience of childbirth is traumatizing and it's stressful. And so my wife is screaming, my child's being born, and all I hear is, hey, ho, in the background, you know, I'm like, happy clapping. And so now whenever I hear that record, it stresses me out. I'm like, bro, like, I can't do it, you know, Lumineers. but again, it takes, because
I don't think I know anyone who would put the Lumineers and childbirth together.
Bro, it's unique, but it will take you back, man.
Yeah.
Or if you hear a song in a film, you know, that's why a good post-production producer will, that they know how to score a film, man, because it will tie you back to it the moment you hear it again.
That's so good.
It's so cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Indiana Jones theme.
100%.
You hear the first note and you're like, oh.
Yeah, oh, dude, I am a Hans Zimmer. Like, I mean, dude, like Christopher Nolan hires him for everything, right? And he has this ability to just, like, score films in a way that, like, it changes the movie. Like,
absolutely.
You remove him from the equation, it's not the same film.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, I mean, even the Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yes.
Known as, like, the worst Spider-Man.
Yes, but the soundtrack.
So good.
Bro, so one of my best friends is a guy named Chase Wagner, and he scores some projects, and he's a very gifted guy in general, but he's gifted at that.
That's cool. I think
because you have to kind of watch the scene, and then you got to feel.
Yeah.
You got to feel, where are we going here, and what's the story we're trying to tell, and how can I complement that?
That's cool.
And I think, again, man, just circling back around, like, it's music has the unique ability to do that.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting how it's kind of, it's just a constant thing.
Right.
Where everyone is, especially people in tragedy, are creating music.
Mm-hmm.
And we always latch onto it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think of during slavery, it's like there's so many beautiful songs that came out of that time.
Right.
Horrible time, but beautiful music.
Right.
I even think about, my mom would tell this story during the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. I think it was her uncle or one of her relatives.
Sure.
I think it was her grandfather, actually, now that I say that.
Yeah.
Played violin. And so he would walk around and play fiddle. He never lost, never was really affected by it.
Yeah.
Because he's like, even though no one's going to the grocery store, no one's doing this and that, everyone came to listen to him play.
Yeah. Well, and that's a unique gifting, man, and at the end of the day, that's why it was such a universal form of entertainment, because it's free,
right?
Like, once you acquired the instrument, and you just had it,
yeah,
and so it would carry you into battle, it would carry you through famine, you know, it would carry you through loss and disease, and touching back on some of the songs that were written, these when enslaved people were trying to escape, and they're just writing songs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And I think a lot of that comes back to, this is all I know how to do. There's a great hymnal, How Great Thou Art.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those songs, man, are written through troubling times.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one I heard recently, It As Well.
Yeah.
That song is essentially saying, like, hey, no matter what I'm going through, Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to sing in times of sorrow.
Absolutely.
But that's when music is needed most, yeah? Right?
No, I mean, I agree.
You can celebrate without it, but you can't mourn without it. I think you have to have that to kind of stay sane and help you get through those grieving periods. And so, but again, it equates to beautiful music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it helps us take something very abstract.
Right.
Kind of make it tangible a little bit.
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
I don't know what I'm feeling.
Right.
But this kind of helps me navigate that.
Yeah. And you can almost gift it.
Right.
One of my favorite things to do with my closest confidants is to send them a song.
Mm.
Because my hope is, and this kind of goes without being said, but my hope is if they like it, then that's we shared that together.
Yeah.
Same with a, you know, yeah. You can do it with a meal. Right. But it's a similar, like, my wife and I have a very close friend called Nicole, and she's a great songwriter, and she and I teach a songwriting class actually every Wednesday.
No way.
We do this locally, and
I gotta get into that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You gotta come out. But she has a great habit of sending me a song and going, like I know how you're going to feel about this.
Mm.
Like, as an artist, she gets it, and so I'll listen to it, and it's 9 times out of 10 she's spot on.
That's amazing.
And so, like I was saying, it's a gift, right? And so, like, I think you can if folks are having a bad day or having a good day or having whatever, you can curate a playlist, and that's free,
right?
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's
true.
It's a cool thing.
That is cool. I was just watching a YouTube video recently. I forget the fancy term for it, but the meaning of it is basically being able to see faces and things.
Oh, wow, yes.
Seeing, like, familiarity and abstract shapes.
Is it synesthesia?
No, it starts with a P. I know that.
Yeah, because the synesthesia is you see colors in songs.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that I thought was unique and cool until my... Because I have it. But then my therapist was like, that's a disorder.
Dang it.
And I was like, why are you so discouraging? What am I paying you for?
So far, he's told you that you have disorders and you're autistic.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I'm not familiar with this, though. So you're able to see faces in music, you said, right? Like it's
No, just like in things.
In things, okay, wow.
So it's like you look at like a light sock and you're like, oh, that looks like someone with their mouth open or something like that.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
It's like you take Benadryl and see the Hat Man.
Yeah, different.
I owe him money.
That's one with the elephants.
Yeah, I owe the Hat Man money, so I can't take Benadryl for a while. I kind of just have to...
Don't want
to
summon him.
I got to tough out my allergies.
The other common one I've heard is Walmart melatonin.
Goodness gracious.
Apparently that one's like the most lucid dreams you could have.
I'm not adventurous, man. Like when,
touching that.
Growing up in the industry, a lot of my homies, would dabble and stuff. And I'm too much of a scaredy cat. I would always say, like, bro, I don't even take melatonin. You know what I mean? Like, I don't take NyQuil. I'm just terrified of my own dreams. So
I'm scared enough of what it produces sober.
Yes.
So I can't imagine.
I've always, deep down in Wayne, and this is, I think, true to most folks, I'm just a scared 8-year-old. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe I have a driver's license. I drove here by myself today, so it still terrifies me. But to circle back around, man, to the relation of music and how it makes you feel. I do think it's so cool when someone hears a song, and sometimes you can hear a song and feel a certain way about it and not share that.
Right.
But if somebody else hears it in passing, it could be years down the road and they can go, oh, this makes me feel X amount of way.
Yeah.
And it's what you've always felt. You're like instantly bonded with that person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you could pull out a bottle of wine or whatever and have a conversation for probably 45 minutes.
Hmm.
And I just don't know, outside of the arts, what else is capable of doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a shared, it's, I mean, obviously shared experiences and shared trauma. Yes. But I'm saying, like, with art, it can be done so simply.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's cool. Even on the other side of it is, like, we want to be taken somewhere a lot of times.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like, it can take us places, but sometimes we can use it as a tool to bring us through that.
Right.
I know I just did a show recently and I released an EP back in March.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. And one of the songs on there, I chose not to play it for this show because I was like, I want to play a new one instead of that one.
Sure.
But one of the guys afterwards who was there, he's like, I was kind of upset that you didn't play that song because I wanted to hear it.
Right.
And here's why I wanted to hear it.
So cool.
And it was like, because of the story that it told, he's like, I want to be brought through that story again.
Yeah. Wow.
And I was like, well, I guess I got to play it now.
Well, and as an artist, man, that's rewarding, right?
Oh, absolutely.
When we were on the road.
The best thing I've ever heard.
No, it is, man. Yeah. I mean, when we were on the road, I had this kind of a BC AD moment where I stopped telling people what songs meant because I had this song that we wrote and it was a very trivial song about a girl that I dated. Not to say it didn't mean anything, but it didn't really mean anything. it was just a song, you know? And I would tell people that. From the stage, I would be, oh, I dated this girl one time, and the only good thing that came out of it was this song, you know. And I was young; I was a teenager. But one night,
it didn't affect me. I promise.
Yeah, right. I only wrote a song about it, but this girl came up to me afterwards, and we hadn't played that song similar to what you had said, and she goes, "Why didn't you play the song?" And I said, "Oh, I was like, it just didn't make the set list tonight." And she goes, "I just love that you guys had shared." Experience with like suicide and suicidal ideations, and that wasn't what the song was about.
Whoa!
But she went on to say like that really helped me overcome that. And I
no
whatever.
Way.
And then I realized the danger of me being so flippant with what these songs meant, because their folks are going to hear music and have the unique opportunity for it to speak to them in a brand new, different
That's
way.
Cool.
And so from that point forward, I stopped. Giving that kind of bio for a song from the stage.
That's cool.
Because I just wanted folks to hear it and go, they spoke this to me. And same with paintings, right? You go down to the museum and see a painting. And we take our daughters down there all the time. Well, we'll have them look at the painting. How does it make you feel? What do you think? And then read the plaque on the side. And now how do you feel about it? You know, because that's what art is, right? And so with music, if I'm telling you exactly what I wrote it about, before you get a chance to hear it, or you know, it can, I think, remove you from the experience.
Yeah, because there's that discovery experience.
Yes, like you were saying.
You
discover it, and then you are grounded in that experience. You remember where you were when you heard it and what it meant to you.
So cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's funny with that, the like, how does it make you feel idea.
Yeah.
I used to always make fun of that, especially with art.
Sure.
So it's like, oh, but you don't know.
Yeah, right.
But the more I've spent time with it, it's just, I feel like I get it now more, but I couldn't explain it.
Yeah.
But there's something like about that, it's like that self-discovery.
Of course.
And it's like, really shows you a lot.
Yeah.
So just be like, let's take the time and just stare at a painting. Like, no additional distractions. Let's just let our brain do what it does.
Right.
And see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, man, because like it's, I think the folks that I spend time with, and we're fortunate, man. We meet a lot of people, and but the folks that I spend a little extra time with who are in tune to that kind of stuff, in the arts and how it makes them feel, and the like, they tend to be just more emotionally healthy.
Yeah,
and I don't have data to back that up. I just have my personal experiences, what I can testify. Yeah, you know, every person I've ever met on the road or on traveling or you know through the podcast and. The folks who are in tune into art, they know what they like. Their emotional intelligence is always higher.
That's cool.
They're able to carry on a deeper conversation.
Yeah.
You know, they're able to, they're just nicer people most of the time, you know, and it's fascinating how that works, but I think it's because art taps into a very, part of our brain that overrides the primal. Like it overrides our desire to just eat raw meat and punch walls. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It overrides that and goes, no, it's okay to relax.
Yeah.
It's okay to breathe. It's okay to cry. And I think, you know, not to stereotype, but I think for guys, for men specifically, you know, unless you had healthy examples growing up, it takes a bit to get there.
Absolutely.
Music helped me with that tremendously.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. Maybe this will help back it up a little bit. I forgot to finish with the, this is my ADHD speaking, my self-diagnosed ADHD, with the seeing faces and things. They were looking at, is there a correlation between creativity, people that self-identify as being creatives, and their ability to see those faces and abstract things.
Wow.
And they found that there was a positive correlation there.
That's cool.
And the way that translates is reading other people's emotional intelligence, reading other people's facial expressions, and being,
wow,
they seem to be more in tune with that than people who don't identify as creative.
That's cool.
And I was like, I think that speaks a lot to the music side of it too.
Yep, yep. Such a wonderful gift to have.
Empathy, yeah.
Empathy, yeah.
Yeah, being able to identify with other people and
right.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
No, it's huge. I mean, we try very hard with our daughters to lead by example there of, you know, not just how you feel, but how would this make somebody else feel?
Yeah.
And the ability to walk into a room and be empathetic, not in a way that, you know, it controls you, but in a way that allows you to be compassionate, you know, and to put others first. And you know, that's a tenet that I feel like, you know, it's important to have. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting to kind of to ask this question. So you brought it up earlier about just Christian music in general.
Yeah.
And it is interesting how when we look back, I'm not going super duper far back. But
no, you're good.
We look at like Bach.
Sure.
Who was a loud and proud Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he used to sign like all of his manuscripts with Sola de Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is. Basically, glory to God.
Sure.
And it's interesting because like he shaped music for like so much. I think he's the one who helped kind of finalize the major and minor keys.
He played a pivotal role.
Yeah. In all these different really cool areas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see like him. And then we kind of come through and today we're just making fun of Christian music. Mostly.
Sure. Yeah. The running joke with CCM, like, you know, Christian radio music, is that it tends to track about 3 years behind popular music.
Right. Yeah. It feels like a parody of it.
A little bit. And instead of putting in the effort to not do that, a lot of folks would just say like, well, we have to be separate from that kind of stuff. And it's like, you're just not working hard, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, I grew up in a culture where making fun of Christian music was what people did.
Yeah.
And I don't now. I don't now. But when I was younger, that was an easy pill for me to swallow.
Yeah.
Because it represented what I didn't want to be.
Mm.
But with that being said, just like with any art, a lot of folks are blessed by it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of folks benefit from its existence. And so if I'm not going to make fun of, you know, a Bollywood film or, you know, or something, you know, that I just don't necessarily gravitate towards.
Yeah.
Why would I then turn around and make fun of, you know, what's playing on the Joy FM? I don't have to listen to it.
Yeah.
And I can be honest about the fact that I don't enjoy it.
Right.
But, you know, I don't have to sit back and poke fun at somebody else's art, because as someone down the line, it exists because someone enjoys it.
Right.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be on the radio.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Right. Someone likes it.
Yeah, a lot of people like it.
I'm reminded of, I think his name is Adam Neely. He's a YouTuber.
Okay.
Really great jazz bassist. Makes a lot of really cool kind of like thesis style videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Essay videos. That's right. What I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And one of them he was talking about was Christian music. He's okay. Like, we've always been taught to hate it.
Right, right.
And so he's like, I want to actually spend time listening to it.
Right.
He's not a Christian, but he's like, I want to spend time listening to it and see, like, is it actually bad?
Right.
And interestingly enough, at the end of it, he's like, you know, it's like they're doing a lot of really good things.
Right.
But it's like, it's a different genre. And he talked about the idea of something being musicked as a verb.
Right.
And he's like, you know, when we music something, and that's a huge part of, I think, worship music and Christian music.
Sure.
Is it's for everyone to do together.
Right.
So, like, that's what's cool about playing at a show.
Right.
He's like, everyone's involved in the music in their own way. It's different than when you're in your room, in your closet playing.
Yep.
And I think that's one thing that makes the genre of Christian music so interesting, is, like, it's designed to not be played by yourself.
That's a great point. And I would say, you know, there's a massive difference when you're looking at Christian music for things that are congregational and used as a vehicle for worship, and things that are Christian entertainment. And I think those, I consider those to be two separate genres. The Christian entertainment genre is the one that I would typically make fun of,
because
it would feel 3 years behind popular music. It would feel dated.
Yeah.
You know, the rhyming schemes would sometimes feel elementary. yeah. But then, like, again, I wake up and listen to Sir Mix a lot. You know what I mean?
how
unfair is that? Like, you know, I'm like, well, the rhyming scheme in Jars of Clay is really elementary, and it's like, dude, you listen to, you know what I mean? Like what, bro? And so, like, and then deep down, a lot of that just came because it was an easy target. It was an easy target for me, and I think it's that way for a lot of folks. But without getting too much in the weeds, you know, it is funny how that genre exists and folks make fun of it. But then at the same time, Nickelback's a great example of folks who were very, very successful.
Yeah.
Very successful. that stuff doesn't just manifest. People enjoy it.
Absolutely.
They're not selling out stadiums because people hate them.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not buying houses in Malibu because the records aren't selling. People enjoy it, dude.
It's like, true.
And what's funny is it doesn't really translate, in my experience, to any other art, right? So if someone goes, man, I just love, like, I really love Jackson Pollock, and no one goes, oh, you're an idiot. You know what I mean?
What, like, a loser.
I would never look at a Jackson Pollock painting. So simple. Yeah, the rhyming schemes. You know what I mean?
Like, the rhyming schemes.
But that's how it feels. So I, you know, the older I've gotten, the more I'm just like, man, people will enjoy it, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not for me. It doesn't mean you have to listen to it, dude.
Right.
You know, but that's, we faced that a lot growing up in our career. And so, you know, there was that need to box it in. Well, you're a Christian. You must do this, or you must listen or play this.
Yeah.
And it takes a bit to get out of that. You know, it's hard.
Yeah, it's true. Are you familiar with MXPX?
Intimately.
I feel like it's a pretty easy question to ask.
Yes.
Because I remember them. One of my favorite albums by them was Live at the Show.
Yes.
Their live album they did. And we had two copies growing up.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got two copies.
Yeah.
And one of them had an extra track on it.
It's cool.
I don't know if you're familiar with that album at all.
I'm familiar with it, but not the extra track.
Okay. Yeah. And there was, like, it's weird that one of them has, you know, this one extra song.
Yeah, right.
Well, we were looking more into it, and this was pretty much pre-high-speed internet, so dial up, too much time.
Yeah, right.
Let's just send it through the phone system and see
exactly
what we get. So they grew up around a Christian environment.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, because they're in the punk rock scene, which is, like, seems to be opposed, but I don't think it is.
No, it has to be. No, it doesn't.
Well, the song that they emitted from some of their CDs was "The KKK Took My Baby Away."
Right. Oh, I didn't know that song.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't realize it was emitted from because my record had it.
Yeah. So one of ours did, one didn't.
Wow.
And what we found out, whether this is true or not, can't fact check it, and I haven't since.
That's okay.
Is that they made one CD for their church congregation.
Okay.
And another one for the general population.
No, and dude, I believe that because we did the same thing. Not as far as the records go, but when we had two songs on the radio, we had a song that would make the CCM circuit, so it would be on the Christian music circuit, and then we had another song simultaneously playing on like normal radio.
Oh, interesting.
And so when we would play a venue, we would do demo checks to see, like, what song should we leave as, like, the encore song here.
Oh, that's cool.
And so if we were playing, like, at, you know, Cornerstone, you know, we're going to close with this, with a single that's on Christian radio.
Yeah, because that's the one they know.
Right. And so I get the sentiment,
right.
You know, which that's such a great song. It's so funny
it's
now, 20 years later, looking back and going, like, our church would dig that song, bro. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, what?
It was one of my favorite ones on the album. I was like, this is a great cover.
Oh, they're such a good band, man.
They're really such
a good band. A lot of my homies are from that area.
Oh, that's
Pacific
cool.
Northwest. And so
yeah,
they're just legends, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
They were. I used to watch them for everything. You're like, what are they doing now? I want to do that.
I love how, like, when he wrote Responsibility, that song is so angsty. And it's like, bro, you're like 27. Like, what are you doing?
I love when they come up with new music. It's like, you're a dad with a lot of
kids. I know, bro. Like, you can't be angsty anymore. You got you actually have to have responsibility.
You can just play hits
or you're going
now.
To jail. Like, yeah.
Right. You don't have anything to write about.
Yeah, what?
Taxes.
So
tax
fun,
evasion.
Dude. Right, exactly. That's punk rock now, dude.
Yeah, it's true. They've aged. Mm-hmm. But it is funny. I think of, I wrote this down because it was the Hank Hill quote from King of the Hill.
Okay.
Where he was talking to this, you know, the super cool hip youth pastor.
Yeah.
And he's like, can't you tell that you're not making Christianity any better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
That's such a good quote, bro. It's such a good quote. And I think a lot of that does come from, and I'm not sure, like, how into the weeds you wanted to get on this, but you know, a lot of churches over the last 30 years or so really slingshotted away from popular culture. And so you know, you would have rock and roll light.
Yeah.
Where it was like, yeah. You know, you have artists like Carmen or artists like Cutlass, you know,
who were edgy.
They were edgy, right? And yeah. They were, I mean, incredibly talented individuals.
Right.
But they knew their market, right? And I can't, dude, I don't front them for that. I mean,
right.
Whatever you got to do. And I think, like, my wife, she's a pastor's kid, my wife. And so she grew up, you know, watching Bible Man and thinking that was cool.
That's amazing.
And like, I'm sure it is cool. I just never saw it, you know? Like,
yeah.
And, but you know what I do dig? I dig VeggieTales, bro. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's sentimental for me. And I.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for other folks, VeggieTales is a fever dream. You know what I mean? Like, but it's like, I'm just very, man, like, when it comes to music, it's like, I'm just happier. If you don't like it, bro, don't listen to it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I hear people all the time, like, getting really upset about Taylor Swift. I'm like, bro, don't listen.
Mm.
Like, no, like, the Gestapo is not, like, showing up at your door and forcing headphones in your ears. Like, just don't listen, bro.
Right.
You know? And so I... That's kind of my school of thought, man, is if someone's like, you know, super all about the Joy FM, I love that, bro. I hope it makes your day so much better, you know? And to be fair, I'm sure there's some great songs on there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The songs I'd probably like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a jam, bro.
Yeah.
You put on, and dude, age does a lot. I'll say this. Age does a lot because there's an old Christian boy band called Plus One. And we were on vacation with our homies a couple years ago, and that song somehow came on our shuffle. And we literally vibed to it all weekend.
That's amazing.
It was like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to listen to it on the way home, actually. It's like so good. But you wouldn't have caught 15-year-old Wayne, you know, listening to that back when it was actually popular.
Right.
You know, it's like,
you had to hate it then.
Yeah, it takes up like a grown-up experience to go, that's a good song, man. Like, good for them, dude.
So good. That it reminds me of, I think even with all of this, something we were talking about before the show, is like what makes you comfortable.
Sure.
And I think that's even like, you know, staying in your lane.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing with music. It's like music's great for the people that write the music that they're supposed to write.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about an interview with Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie.
Yeah.
He was talking about, you know, there's people that are trying to change with the times,
right,
musically, that
right,
were popular, you know, back in early 2000s or the 90s.
Right.
They're like, I'm trying to make 2020 music now.
Right.
Which is completely shifted.
Right.
He's like, well, that's not the music we write.
No.
We write this kind of music.
Right.
So people will come to us for this music.
Yeah. And everybody has experienced that where their favorite band writes an album that's like, sounds nothing like
right,
what they love. And unfortunately, what you see is, I'm not going to list any examples, but unfortunately, what you see are folks who try to get away from what they're famous for.
Mm.
And then they either will correct it and go back to what
right,
they're known for.
Yeah.
Or they just drop off the plane of existence.
Yeah.
And then 10 years later, they come back and do like a reunion tour and play all the old stuff and pretend that record never happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as an artist, I get it, right? Like,
yeah,
you, there's a part of, even on our show, there's a part of like, you know, there's things that I like to do that make me laugh a lot.
Mm.
There are certain segments we do that I really enjoy, and they just don't track well.
Dang.
You know what I mean? That's so crazy. It's like, yeah. So it's, you know, this isn't a passion project anymore. It's a career for us. And so we have to go, hey, man, like, this is what people love, and this is what people don't love. And unfortunately, there are bands who just don't quite understand that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's something they really want to do.
And dude, and here's the thing. With all that being said, more power to them.
I agree.
More power to them. Yeah. I mean,
what the art leads you to do.
Yeah, and if you're led to do it, that's fine. You won't care about the record sales anyways.
Yeah,
and that's a good place. That's a good place to be.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah,
but I think that's a big thing with the Christian music side of it, because I think it has been like a whole new genre that's emerged from it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just because they went through this whole discovery period again.
Yeah,
to now where it's like, oh, they're actually creating something unique.
Right.
But I think a lot of it was finding that, like, rediscovering where is that path,
right?
And like, where is the lane that we're supposed to be in here?
100%, dude.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for being on here,
bro. 100%, man.
This is great.
I could do this for days. This is my sweet spot. I mean, talking about, you know, church music and faith and that kind of stuff. And it's funny because, like, I don't. I mean, we resource our local church here, but a lot. I have friends who are like really involved in the Christian music industry, and you know, they're doing great things. And I will say what I've loved about the last 10 years is watching the church kind of mellow out a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'll never forget this, man, reading an article, you know, 15 years ago about this Christian band getting canceled because they mentioned that they said in an interview that they went and had a pint after practice, and literally like radio stations were pulling their songs, and like and it was just like, I think about like Amy Grant, you know, and
oh yeah,
who, you know, like, you know, you know, God forbid her private life is you know, blasted to the public, and it's like,
yeah
we're just gonna abandon you, and like and that still exists, don't get me wrong, but it's mellowed out quite a bit. And so it's good to see my homies who are just what I call normal human beings who are really cool, doing great things in the Christian music industry.
That gives
me hope, man. Like, you know, that people, given time, things tend to remedy themselves, which is cool.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
There's enough people trying to be like, re-navigate. Let's go through the mines again.
100%. Let's figure this out.
Yeah. This tunnel is collapsing. Let's try this one.
Well, dude, thank you for having me, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I could talk for probably another 2 hours about this.
For sure.
I'm like, well, I guess we both have a day to get back to.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, where can people find you? Where can they listen to your podcast?
Thanks, man. Social media, it's FMOFM podcast. And if you just Google search Florida Men plural on Florida Man singular, that'll come up. So Florida Men on Florida Man podcast. It's on all the major platforms, and it's family friendly, so you can put it on and not have to worry about your kids learning any new words.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
There's only one rule, is if you listen to it, you have to keep listening to mine too.
100%.
Because, you know, you got to get theology.
You have to. Our show will lead you down a path that's going to be destructive.
That's right. we're gonna reconstruct.
No. Listen, by all means, listen to both.
Yeah, I can endorse that.
100%. Same here.
No, yeah, definitely go check it out. You'll love Florida. You'll want to move down, and I encourage you to do that. But also at the same time, I don't.
Listen, it's a love hate relationship for a lot of people. But at least come visit.
Absolutely.
We're good at that. We've been good at that for 100 years. So come see us.
It's a good time. It's a good time. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoy this. I know I definitely did. And I'll talk to you hopefully sooner rather than later.